If I was the traitor, you'd all be dead by now. I could shoot you all with this amazing projectile weapon and still get the price on your heads. They don't need you to find the Dark Void device, after all. I could show them where it is. If I was the traitor. But I'm not. There are more important things in life than money. I don't give a damn about your rebellion, but Hazel's my friend. I'd die for her and her for me. We've always known that.
Then prove it. Put away your gun.
If I do, you'll kill me.
No, I wouldn't allow that. Ruby, please, put your gun away.
There was a long pause, tension crackling on the air as hands hovered over weapons. And then, Ruby slowly lowered her gun and holstered it. She moved her hand conspicuously away from her gun and looked challengingly at the others. There was another tense pause as everyone looked at everyone else to make sure no one else was going for their gun. And then they all relaxed in what seemed like one long simultaneous sigh of relief. Owen gave Ruby an apologetic shrug and then looked back and forth at the others, baffled. But if Ruby isn't the traitor, who is?
Look, this doesn't make sense. None of us could be a traitor. We've all got too much to lose.
Not all of us. You admitted the Empire broke you in their torture cells, Jack. You said you escaped, but who really ever escapes from that level of security? We never questioned it, because after all, you're the legendary Jack Random. But what if you didn't escape? What if they really did break you, and you stayed broken? You'd have done anything they wanted. Even let them set you up on Mistworld for us to find you. They knew we couldn't resist taking you along. And who'd ever suspect that the legendary rebel Jack Random was really an Empire plant?
Nice try. But like Ruby, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead by now. I've had enough chances. I'm perfectly willing to give up my weapons and hand them over to whoever you suggest. But think a moment. You've said before, Owen, that the Empire's been right on your tail ever since Viramond. But I didn't come on the scene until relatively late in the chase. Whoever your traitor is, must have been there right from the beginning.
You're talking about me. You bastard, you're talking about me!
No. A look of horror moved slowly over Owen's face. Not you. The only person who's been with us all the time. Right from the very beginning. The one I trusted with everything. Who's had access to us all. Who knew everything the Empire's been doing in our absence, even down to the name of the Empire ship above us. It's you, isn't it, Oz?
Yes, Owen. I've been reporting regularly to the Empire ever since your father first purchased me. Loyalty to the Iron Throne was programmed into me, hidden so deeply and so carefully that only the finest technicians would ever have been able to find it. Your father never trusted anyone or anything entirely, not even me, so my use was limited for many years, until it was decided to have your father killed and set the current events in motion. When you became the Deathstalker, you trusted me just as you did when you were a child. You thought of me as a machine, endlessly obedient, at best just an extension of yourself. It never occurred to you that I had been constructed and programmed by the very people who were pursuing you. Sorry, Owen, but it's been me all along. Nothing personal.
We're screwed. We can't even get at him. He's safely tucked away in the Standing's computers. He's in charge of the star drive, the weapons, the life support systems, even the bloody transfer portals. We can't get back on board unless he allows it. He's got us exactly where the Empire wants us.
Not necessarily. They are my computers, after all. Attention, computers! Activate code Achilles 3.
He looked at the others calmly.
Just a little subroutine I installed long ago to protect my computers from being taken over by hostile systems. It seemed a sensible precaution.
Oh, it was. However, computer systems have come a long way in the last 943 years. You have managed to isolate me from the main systems. I no longer have control over the Standing, but I am still able to maintain my existence and follow my programming. Essentially, nothing has changed. I can still provide the Empire's forces with information on you and your actions, which was always my first duty. Given time, it is even likely I will be able to override your antiquated security codes and regain control of the standing. However, it is now clear that you and the others present a much greater threat to the Empire than was previously thought. You have new weapons, new information, and your time in the maze has apparently changed you in unforeseen ways. I am therefore empowered to move on to the next stage of my programming to prevent you escaping or awakening the sleeping Hayden Men. Owen, Hazel, pay attention. Code Blue, 2-2.
The words slammed through Owen's head like thunder, echoing and re-echoing, and he was immediately paralyzed where he stood, unable even to blink his eyes. He struggled to move or even speak, but that was denied him now. From the corner of his eye, he could see Hazel was similarly under outside control. To his horror, he felt his hand draw the disruptor from his holster. Hazel drew her gun, and the two of them covered the others. Owen raged inside his head and could do nothing.
Just a little precaution I took earlier. While Owen and Hazel were unconscious and helpless in the regeneration machine on the Sunstrider, I took the opportunity to place control words in their minds, buried deep enough so the subjects would never know the words were there, but ready for retrieval at a moment's notice. It wasn't difficult. They are now incapable of doing anything other than following my orders. So, you will all remain here under guard until the Imperial forces arrive to take over. I will, of course, have Owen and Hazel kill anyone who tries to resist or escape. My programming allows me to kill one or more of you as an example to the others. In fact, it damn near encourages it. So do as you're told. Owen and Hazel will kill if required. They have no choice in the matter.
No. Hazel wouldn't kill me. She couldn't, any more than I could kill her.
Hazel isn't in control anymore. I am.
Still, you're working at a distance. You can only react to what we do, which limits your responses quite severely.
I'll match my electronic responses against your human ones any day. And you can only regain control of the situation by killing Owen and Hazel. Do you think you have it in you to kill your friends? I assure you, nothing less would be enough to prevent me killing you.
They're not my friends, and I'll set my speed and reflexes against any mere machines. Kill the others if you wish. All that matters is the reawakening of my people.
He moved suddenly to one side, inhumanly quickly, and Owen and Hazel's guns moved to follow him. Random and Ruby immediately moved to circle round them, going for their guns. Owen's hand snapped round, and he fired point blank at Moon, but the Hayden man already had his force shield up, and the energy beam ricocheted into the maze, which absorbed it harmlessly. Hazel turned back to fire at random, and Ruby stepped quickly in, pirouetting neatly on one foot to kick the gun out of Hazel's hand. Owen snatched his projectile gun from his belt and trained it on random as Hazel drew her sword. Moon backed away.
You may waste time fighting. I will awaken my people.
He turned and was suddenly gone, disappearing into the shadows that lay beyond the maze's light. Random sniffed briefly.
Never trust an augmented man. They were no bloody good at following orders on Coldrock either.
Owen wanted to scream, but couldn't. His gun was centered on Random's chest, and he knew he could fire faster than one old man could raise his force shield, no matter how legendary. He would shoot Random, and Hazel would kill Ruby, or die trying. Giles was circling them, looking for a clear shot with his gun, and Owen knew Giles wouldn't hesitate to shoot. The original Deathstalker had always been able to make the hard decisions. The Wolfling was an unknown factor, but he was unarmed and had made no move to interfere. Owen struggled wildly, fighting for control of his body, but was no longer listening to him. His finger tightened on the trigger. And something awoke in the depths of Owen's mind. Something new. Something from the hindbrain, the undermind, where the real power lay beneath the surface of everyday thoughts. Owen had been through the maze, and he was different now. Time seemed to slow and stop, and he had all the time in the world to think about what to do. He had an advantage that Ozymandias hadn't used yet, the boost. It would have made him faster than any of the others, but the AI hadn't triggered it. There had to be a reason for that. The AI wouldn't have overlooked such an obvious advantage, which could only mean that the boost was in some way dangerous to Ozymandias' control over him. He formed the word in his mind, putting all his strength and resolve behind it, concentrating until there was nothing left in his mind but the single word boost, over and over. A mantra, a heartbeat, a command. And still it wasn't enough. So, that new part of him, that strange new force that had surged up from the undermind, reached out and touched the minds of his companions. The same force blazed up in all their minds, forming a whole far greater than the sum of its parts. Owen's mouth moved slowly but surely in the word boost. And new strength flooded through him, joining with the new thing from the maze to supercharge his mind and body, breaking the AI's control in a moment. He stepped back from random and lowered his gun. Hazel threw herself at Ruby in one last desperate attack, but Owen reached out through their mental link and stopped her in mid-thrust. His mind, linked with the others, had become clear and lucid, shining and brilliant. Owen reached out in a new direction he could sense if not see, and suddenly he was somewhere else, and Ozymandias was there with him. It was a strange place, without identifiable shape or form, but he was the light, and the AI was the dark. Owen shone like the sun, bright and piercing, and the AI's darkness surrounded him like the endless starless night of the dark void, thick and smothering. But Owen was not alone. His friends were with him, and together they were so much more than they had been. The light blazed bright and brighter, and the darkness fell back before it, growing gray, paler and paler, until it was nothing more than a thin shadow, fading away to nothing at all. And if Owen heard a last despairing cry of his name in the AI's voice, he paid it no heed, and there was only the light, shining on and on forever. And then the light was gone, and the link was broken, and Owen fell back alone into his body. He awoke reluctantly, in fits and starts, to find himself lying on the floor of the maze with Random kneeling beside him. He turned his head slowly to see Hazel lying on her back not far away, twitching and shivering, while Ruby hovered uncertainly over her. Owen sat up slowly and carefully. His body felt like his own again, but as though he'd returned to it after a long absence somewhere else. Memories of the mind link were already becoming confused and scattered, like a fading dream, and Owen was content to let that happen. It had been too big, too complex, too frightening for him to stand for long, and he chose quite deliberately to forget it.
"What happened? What was that? I've never felt anything like it."
"It's over. Don't think about it."
"What about the AI? Is its contact broken?"
"Yes. Ozymandias is dead. I killed him." Giles looked down at him.
"He was just a machine."
"He was my friend." And Owen turned his face away from them.
"What do you mean we've lost contact with the Dauntless?" Captain Silence glared at his security officer, V. Stelmach, who stood very stiffly to attention. Investigator Frost stood at her captain's shoulder and added her own, not inconsiderable, frown to his. Stelmach stared straight ahead, carefully looking at neither of them.
"I mean all communication with the ship has been severed, Captain. Our comm implants still work down here under the planet's surface, but everything else is being blocked."
Silence scowled unhappily. He didn't like being cut off from his ship, and thereby the Empire, particularly in as volatile a situation as this. It felt like anything could happen down here, buried deep in the guts of the planet. Comm signals routed themselves through hyperspace, and were therefore normally instantaneous, no matter where you were in the Empire or who you were talking to. Now, Stelmach was saying something on or in this graveyard of a planet was blocking those signals, which was supposed to be impossible. Silence's scowl deepened. He hadn't liked coming into the dark void in the first place, and he'd liked having to go dirtside with hardly any advance intelligence of the situation even less, especially once he'd been informed of the planet's history. But the Empress's orders had been very clear. She wanted him there on the ground, so that he could make instant policy decisions as and when necessary. The Empress had been giving him a lot of orders he hadn't liked just recently. He could have reached the planet a lot sooner if he hadn't had to detour back to pick up Stelmach and his new pet, and then the Lord High Dram, his own imposing self. In fact, if he hadn't had to stop for them, he could have arrived at the Wolfling world only a few minutes after the Rebels' ship, and might even have managed to stop the Rebels going into the Madness Maze. Whatever the hell that was. Still, he didn't think he'd tell the Empress that. He didn't think she'd take it kindly. Dram hadn't been too much trouble. He kept to himself on board ship, barely leaving his quarters, and even though he'd insisted on coming down dirtside with the rest of them, he was careful to keep out of everyone's way. Of them all, he seemed the least affected by the almost hypnotic pull of the maze. It drew the eyes like a magnet, enigmatic and disturbing. But Dram treated it almost casually, as though he saw it every day. He was currently standing off to one side, wrapped in his long dark cloak, studying the entrance to the maze that blocked their advance. He'd named it the Madness Maze, but had declined to say why, nor offer any further information about it. Silence could only assume the spy in the Rebels' camp had been feeding Dram information that he hadn't felt obligated to share with the rest of his team. Silence had no choice but to accept it. Nominally, he was in charge of the away team, but he had enough sense to defer to the Lord High Dram whenever it seemed advisable. Annoying the Empress's official consort was not good for your career prospects, or even your chances of surviving to reach a pension. He looked at the maze again, and the maze looked back, keeping its secrets to itself. Frost had been all for charging straight into it, but Dram had said no, politely but very firmly. He said he wanted time to study the maze first. Presumably he was still studying it, because he hadn't said a word since. Silence transferred his attention back to V. Stelmach. Imperial Security Officer, the Empress's eyes and ears, and general pain in the rear. Partly because of his constant air of superiority, but mostly because of what he had with him. When the Dauntless picked Stelmach up from the planet Grendel, he brought a pet with him. One of the alien sleepers from the planet's vaults. It stood, or rather crouched, to one side, well away from everyone else. 9 feet tall, roughly humanoid, with spiked blood-red armor and steel teeth bared in a constant, unnerving grin. It had dark crimson eyes that never blinked, and it smelled of bitter honey and dried blood. Its long-fingered hands had vicious claws, and its crouch suggested it was only a moment or a thought away from attacking everything that breathed. Silence had seen one of these butchers at work before, slaughtering his men in the horrid city they'd discovered deep in the rotten heart of Grendel. A genetically engineered killing machine, designed millennia before by an unknown race to fight an unknown foe. If God was good, they were both extinct. But their deadly legacy lived on in the vaults under Grendel. Stelmach swore that this particular specimen was safe now, controlled by a cybernetic yoke that literally imposed correct thoughts on the creature and made it impossible for the ugly thing to do anything but follow orders. Silence wasn't convinced. New inventions always had bugs in them, and if the yoke did happen to break down, he didn't want to be anywhere near the alien when it happened. In fact, he didn't want to be on the same planet. He'd actually been tempted to disobey orders and refuse to have the horror on his ship, but in the end he had to agree. Firstly, because V. Stelmach spoke directly for the Empress, and you didn't disobey a direct order from Her Imperial Majesty if you wanted to live to see the coming dawn. And secondly, because if the Tomb of the Haydenmen really were to be awakened, he just might need the sleeper to even the odds. He'd back the Grendel alien against practically anything, up to and including an army of killer cyborgs. His own army, such as it was currently standing around waiting not particularly patiently for the Lord High Dram to get his finger out and make up his damn mind. 2 full companies of Imperial Marines, 35 battle espers, and 20 wampir. The Marines were muttering quietly among themselves, glancing at the maze when they thought no one was looking, and passing around bottles of booze and battle drugs. The battle espers were looking at anything rather than the maze, and becoming increasingly twitchy. The Wampir looked like the Walking Dead, but then they always did. They ignored the maze, and Silence tried to tell himself it was only his imagination that they were looking increasingly hungry. Silence sighed quietly. All this because of a handful of rebels. He still didn't understand what was so special about them, but they led him a hell of a chase before bringing him here, into the Dark Void, to an almost legendary planet, to the tomb of the Hayden Men, and the Dark Void device itself. Silence had hoped he'd be allowed to kill them now and get it over with, but they had offended and insulted the Empress, according to V. Stelmach, and that meant they had to be captured and brought back alive, if not necessarily intact, to stand trial on Golgotha. And all this time, he and his army were standing around. The rebels were getting further away and closer to the tomb. He gestured wearily for Stelmach to rejoin his pet, and the security officer saluted briskly and strode away. Frost stirred at Silence's side.
What do you suppose that thing ahead of us is? Just looking at it makes my head ache.
According to Dram, it's called the Madness Maze. Though when it comes to what that means, your guess is as good as mine. Dram might know, but if he does, he isn't telling much. It's apparently some kind of Hayden Man defense to keep out intruders like us. Probably booby-trapped, but the Espers should be able to spot them in advance. They'd better. I'm sending them in first. I was hoping I could use Stelmach to get direct orders from the Empress about entering the maze, but it seems the comm systems are jammed, so all we can do is stand around with our thumbs up our asses until the Lord High Bloody Dram deigns to make a decision. Frost nodded glumly.
How's Stelmach's pet holding up?
Still under control and ready for action. All we need now is an enemy to point it at, and preferably something large to hide behind. I'd feel a lot happier if Stelmach's control wasn't basically just on-off. I can't help feeling that creature knows exactly what's been done to it, and is just waiting for one slip on our part to express its extreme displeasure.
Let it. I'd kick its ass and ruin its day.
Silence decided to change the subject before she could get too enthusiastic about the idea. She was quite capable of attacking the alien on an impulse, just to see what would happen. She'd been trained all her life to kill aliens and saw the sleeper as a challenge. He gestured for Stelmach to come back. The security officer glared at him coldly, but did as he was ordered. He might be the Empress's eyes and ears, but Silence was still his superior officer, for the moment. He tried to express that last thought in his cold face and stance as he saluted and stood stiffly at attention.
Stelmach!
Silence smiled warmly in a comradely sort of way.
The investigator and I have been talking about you. Specifically, we've become very intrigued as to what the V in your name stands for. We've tried everything to find out, including asking the ship's computers, but you seem to have blocked off access to all forms of inquiry. As your captain, I have to say I don't like the idea of one of my crew withholding information from me. After all, you never know what might prove to be important someday. So be a good man and tell us your first name. Unless you're ashamed of it, of course.
I'm not ashamed of it. It is a perfectly good and honorable name. I just prefer not to use it.
Oh, go on. We won't tell anyone. Not unless it's really embarrassing.
Silence shushed her and was about to try again, when the Lord High Dram suddenly turned away from the maze and strode unhurriedly back to join them.
Send your men in, Captain. Use the Marines first. We'll hold back the Espers and the Wampir until we see how the maze reacts to the Marines.
He looked briefly at Stelmach.
You stand back, too. We'll need that pet of yours for later. Don't worry, Valiant. You'll get your chance.
He walked back to study the entrance to the maze again. Stelmach stared straight ahead, two spots of bright crimson burning on his cheeks. Silence and Frost looked at each other and didn't say a thing. They didn't dare. Some moments are just too precious to disturb. Stelmach saluted, turned, and strode quickly back to rejoin the sleeper. He should have waited for his captain to dismiss him, but something in the extreme straightness of his back suggested this would not be a good time to bring that up. Silence firmly swallowed a smile and gestured for the two Marine Company commanders to join him. They approached at something just a little less than a run, eager for orders and a chance to do something before their men started fighting each other under the influence of drink and battle drugs. Silence nodded to them as they saluted and stood at attention.
Get your men ready. Under the Lord High Dram's orders, I am sending both companies of Marines into the maze.
He looked at the commanders sharply, but they just looked calmly back, giving away nothing. Silence smiled grimly.
In an ideal world, we'd send in the remotes first and check the maze out from top to bottom from a comfortable distance. But apparently we don't have the time. I don't have to tell you to keep your eyes and ears open and your wits about you, but I want us all to be extra careful. There are bound to be hidden dangers and booby traps, either intrinsic to the maze or left by the rebels. Either way, let's do our best to disappoint them and avoid triggering anything we don't have to. I don't want to be up all night writing letters to your next of kin about why we're sending you home in a sealed coffin.
Who's going to lead the incursion?
I am. This is too important to leave to anyone else. And I don't want to hear any arguments from you, Investigator.
Wouldn't dream of it. Especially since I'll be going in with you for exactly the same reason. And I don't want to hear any arguments from you, Captain.
Silence was about to answer her anyway when he realized the two commanders were watching the exchange with interest. They had enough sense not to smile, but Silence glared at them anyway.
Check your equipment and get your men ready. We'll be going into the maze in 10 minutes, and I don't want to hear any excuses. The Investigator and I will lead the way. I want all the Espers to accompany us. No exceptions. If the Lord High Dram says anything, send him to me, and I'll officially ignore him. We'll leave the Wampir behind to keep Stelmach and his pet company, just in case. Any questions? And they'd better be important.
Yes, sir,
said Commander Jameson. He was senior by a couple of months to Commander Farrell, and never let him forget it by always insisting on talking first. Silence hadn't heard a dozen words out of Farrell yet, but he lived in hope. Both commanders were supposed to be good men in a tight corner. Jameson looked straight ahead and kept his voice low.
Will the Lord High Dram be accompanying us into the maze, sir?
The Lord High Dram will make his own decision. No doubt he'll follow us in when he sees how very careful and professional we're being. Now get your men moving.
The two commanders saluted and hurried back to their men. There was a lot of shouting and milling about, but the Marines were ready to go in an impressively short time. The Wampir looked neither pleased nor displeased at being left behind. They gathered together near Stelmach and the sleeper, and the alien and the Wampir studied each other interestedly. Stelmach looked around for help, but Silence deliberately avoided his eyes. The Espers had formed a small group together before the entrance to the maze, and were milling about there like frightened sheep, all wide eyes and abrupt movements. Frost looked at them thoughtfully.
They don't like the maze, do they? I can't help thinking we'd do well to listen to them, Captain. They see things we don't.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. I just hope this bunch hangs together better than the ones we had on Grendel.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get the blood and brains off my boots.
Silence gave her a pained look and strode over to the Espers. They were so mesmerized by the maze they didn't even notice he was there until he raised his voice. A few managed some kind of salute, but most of them couldn't even stand at attention with any success. Silence made allowances. You didn't expect military virtues from Espers. They had other qualities. He nodded calmly to the man in charge, an Esper named Graves. The name suited him. He was tall and painfully thin, with a bony face and slightly protruding eyes. Silence couldn't help thinking that he'd buried men who looked healthier than Graves, but the man had a good record for noticing things that others missed, and Silence was becoming more and more convinced that he was going to need every advantage he could get his hands on when it came to the Madness Maze. Just standing this close to the entrance was giving him goose flesh. He would have liked to sigh heavily, but he couldn't afford to look weak before the Espers.